You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone and welcome along to Wednesday's edition of the Racing Podcast. Sam Norris here, joined by James Millman on this edition to look ahead to the action on Wednesday. We'll be looking forward to contests at Ludlow and Lingfield, but we've also got Catterick in the afternoon. Then in the evening, we've got a card on the Poly Track at Kempton Park. You'll hear every race live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:10 PM with Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Dale Gibson in the studio. But first things first, how are you, James?
Yeah, pretty good. Thank you, Sam.
Good. Enjoy the weekend's action.
Yeah, some cracking racing, didn't we? An enjoyable Hennessy, cracking performance from the Galloping Grey, Smart Place, and I'd say it was a good weekend's racing, to be honest.
Yeah, we had Smart Place winning the Hennessy. We had quite a few stars turning out over in Ireland on Sunday as well, James. No More Heroes. Amongst them, Long Dog was in action, Arctic Fire as well. There hasn't been too many disappointments from last year's superstars in terms of their seasonal reappearance. Most of them seem to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, they've all seemed to come back in good form. And we're set for a pretty exciting season with, a few of the old ones coming back as well. Q-Card and Swinna Sakura. So at the moment, it's looking like potentially Cheltenham 2016 is going to be absolutely fascinating, full of competitive championship races and a lot of contenders for these grade ones.
Yeah, hopefully so. And of course, we've got the Tingle Creek coming up this weekend as well, James. We know Sprint Sakura is not going to go for that race, but with the likes of Undersow, Vibrato Valtat, and possibly Simon Sigg in the lineup as well, still looks to be a decent renewal of that race.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a competitive race. To be fair, Nicky was pretty much saying after Cheltenham that Sprint Sakura would probably have a longer rest due to his many problems and come back probably for a Desert Orchid at Kempton. So I wouldn't be too concerned if you're a Sprinter Sakura fan that he is missing the race, especially as the Tingle Creek is going to be so hot. It's going to be a mini champion chase anyway. Mm. Obviously dodging bullets, unfortunately he's had a little bit of a setback, so he's going to be missing it as well. But Undersert, it'll be great to see him against the more professional second season, third season chasers. And Vibrato Valtat's had a real good season, so he's certainly going to provide him a little bit of a challenge. Pretty short in the Undersow at the moment, but on what we saw last year, he's going to be very, very hard to beat. But I have to remember that a few of the William Ellen's horses have been needing their first runs. Obviously, Fahim got beat, which you would never imagine. It was 7-1 on. So you might just see that one or two are needing their runs a little bit. And obviously, this time last year, they're winning in very easy novice company first time out. So against proper fit, very useful individuals like Vibrato Valtat, it was impressive when winning at Exeter. This could be the time he gets beat. So I think he's plenty short enough. I probably would be going for Nichols' horse, Vibrato Valtat, who's much more straightforward, much easier to deal with now. Can be ridden how you want to ride him rather than producing on the line. You imagine he's going to get a nice lead from Undersow, and it should be a fascinating race.
Yeah, he's a bit of a do-or-die jumping action as well, Undersow. It's all very fast-paced, yeah. And he flies over the hurdles.
He goes flat out, and Cheltenham, if he meets the railway fences, it's not a problem. But if you get one of those wrong, it could either end in a fall or, make a mistake and he'll lose a lot of momentum. So it'd be interesting. Sandown's a brilliant place to watch 2 mile chasers, and it's great that Tingle Creek's got a strong field this weekend.
Yeah, looking forward to it. I've got a couple of nice handicaps as well over at Aintree. But it's Aintree's biggest race of the year that's making the headlines this morning, James. Some people don't like to talk about Cheltenham at this stage of the season. Here we are. Discussing the Grand
National. I think Darren Owen talk about Cheltenham, but he would love me to talk about that Grand National, that very famous handicap chase he loves so much.
Yeah, if it was the Wizard on the podcast this morning, I could just put my feet up and let him go, really.
You probably have a good 20 minutes of him talking about the Grand National.
Yeah, and, that's right.
How it is the most famous race in the world, the best race in the world, blah, 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 blah. But it is obviously very, very important to British racing. And it's interesting to see if it's later time change 5:15 will increase the Channel 4 viewership, and obviously it gives people more time to get bets on. But generally, once your punter goes in the bookies, probably before lunchtime, to get their money on. I'm not too sure how much revenue etc. that will increase. Just viewing figures, obviously, after final score is finished. Hopefully you'll be getting a few viewers switch from BBC One and watch Channel 4 racing to see the big race.
Yeah, I think it will certainly help in that respect, as you mentioned there, James. It won't have to compete with the football as much, being on at 5:15. People won't have to make the choice between the two. And as you said, there might be a lot of people who maybe ordinarily wouldn't watch it in the second half of the football. Yeah. But after the footy's over, they might think, oh yeah, I'll switch over to Channel 4 and pop that on.
I think that's probably the key. And especially at the moment, Channel 4 are getting battered with the viewing figures at every single time they're released. So probably they're just keen to try and get something positive, because they have actually managed to maintain a pretty decent viewership for the National. It's the only race that really has. But again,
I think it peaked last year at 8.9 million, which is the highest it's been since it moved to Channel 4, but still doesn't quite compete with the 11, 12 million, the last that was shown on the beat.
Although it's amazing how lazy people are. They can't get that remote control and switch from 1 to 4. Bearing in mind you've got about 500 channels to choose from nowadays. I'm sure it's just a lot of the older generation. They just fall asleep and leave their TV on one, and the old viewer says, oh, we've got an extra couple of viewers. Because I'm amazed that a sport where you'd imagine people are keen to tune in and can nearly lose half its viewers just by switching from BBC One to Channel 4, because basically you're getting the same production team. When Claire Bolden was presenting, it was very much a similar people running the show. So like I say, I don't know how accurate those figures are sometimes, because like I say, I find it hard to believe, but I think a lot of people do just stick on BBC One all day, and maybe that's all they use. But interesting to see if it works. For me, it wouldn't make much difference to my viewing a national, whether it's at 5:15 or 4:15.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I think people like you and me, James, that are going to watch the national anyway.
We're going to
tune in whether it's on 4:15 or 5:15.
I'd say Darren Ange has got to wait an extra hour on that day to call the race.
Yes, we'll see whether that does make any impact then. So from your point of view, you don't think it'll make much difference? Are there no real negatives of it from your point of view? I'm interested to see this morning on Twitter some negative reaction to it, because I'm kind of the opinion with you, James. If it will potentially boost the figures in any way, then that's surely a good thing. I can't see too many downsides with it.
Yeah, there's some murmurings about low sun. I think sun sets about 8 o'clock, so that shouldn't be a problem. Realistically, I don't see any negatives for it as such. I think the Melbourne Cups run pretty late in the day. There's a few people moaning that perhaps some of the public that are there at the races, an extra hour for them to drink alcohol could leave a few more difficult people to deal with. But like I say, I'm sure they're still at the racetrack an hour after national finishes, so I'm not too sure how much difference that will make. But like I say, for me, I don't really see any problem with moving it, and it might boost figures a little bit and get a few people watching. But the problem with the National is that ultimately people watch that one race because they've got a sweepstake in the office.
Yeah.
They've got that 50p each way. And I'd say that's probably the only race at university where people say, oh, who's going to win the National? And it does grab the whole public consciousness, but they are once-a-time viewers and they're not really going to come back again. But like I say, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll see how that develops then into next year. We'll leave it there then for the news on this edition of the podcast. We'll move ahead to some of Wednesday's action. We've got Catterick and Ludlow jumping in the afternoon, and two all-weather cards, Lingfield in the afternoon and Kempton Park in the evening. It's Ludlow and Lingfield that we'll focus on our podcast, and we'll start with some jumping action at Ludlow. They're 140. This is a mare's handicap hurdle over a mile and seven. Six runners are declared for this Class 2. Couple in winning form towards the bottom of the handicap, James.
Yeah, really interesting. Mare's handicap hurdle. Cracking prize money once again at Ludlow tomorrow. £19,000 for this mare's handicap. Shame only got six runners, but it's a very competitive contest. All six could certainly be given a chance. And like you say, those two at the bottom of the weights have been in good form. Pandarica won last time at New Nabbit in a novice hurdle, but that was 173 days ago, and she might just need this after a little bit of a break. And Northern Meeting, you'd be a little bit concerned about the soft ground. Her wins have come on good to firm and good ground at Worcester and Stratford, and she might just struggle on the softer ground. So I'm going to go for one of the more experienced mares, but hasn't run for a little while, and Dusky Legend. She had a good season last year, despite not winning. She was second to Calando at Toaster on her debut over hurdles, and that was a pretty decent effort, to be honest. Improved then to come second to Tara Point in a listed hurdle at Taunton. She's a very useful individual for Paul Nicholls. And then Didn't do a lot wrong when second to the Governess, another very useful mare at Toaster, at a final start back in January. And I think then Connections probably took the decision to keep her novice status for the following year. And she only rated 1-2-2, first time in a handicap, which I think she's fairly treated. Whereas the top two in the handicap, Alley and Core and Tara Mist, they could be a little bit high in the weights off 1-2-3 and 1-2-8 respectively. So I think Dusky Legend is the best handicap. Alan King, obviously in cracking form, won the Hennessy on Saturday, and the team are generally running very well. So I'm going to hopefully go for Dusky Legend, and she can get off a mark at the fourth attempt over hurdles in the first time this season.
Dusky Legend and the one for James in the 140 for Alan King and Wayne Hutchinson. We'll stay at Ludlow then for our next race on the podcast. This is their 210, a handicap chase here to qualify for the Challenger Staying Chase Series final. 3 mile and a furlong is the trip ahead of the 10 that line up for this. Again, James, good prize money on offer for these 10 taking their chance here. What did you like?
Yeah, 20 grand race, and again, very competitive, but quite a few of these are probably at the top of their limit as to regards handicap marks. And I'm going to take a chance on old King Messina. He's pretty consistent off the mark last time here at Ludlow. Similar conditions off 115. He's gone up £8, but he's generally been pretty consistent. And Evan Williams, another yard, which is an absolutely cracking form at the moment with Adam Wedge. He goes very well at the track, and he's very, very consistent. So I think he's probably the solid option, because a few of these, like I said, are either high in the handicap or a little bit out of form. Skylander had a good summer, winning at Newton Abbott and Hexham, but his last two starts at Worcester and Chatham just suggests the handicap has got hold of him a little bit, despite the fact that David Noonan's on board for the first time, who is turning professional pretty shortly. He's a very, very decent young rider, and it's certainly probably the amateur condition that's caught the eye so far this season. But he needs to get a good tune out of Skylander, who's been a little bit out of form the last twice. Venetia's got Howard's Legacy, who makes his return after 289 days off the track, and you could certainly give him a shout on his best form. He won Bangor in November last year off 125, was only £4 higher on this occasion, and he does go well fresh, so he could be interesting. Top weight until winning, been a little bit disappointing this season. 11-8 favourite when he went to Fakenham for a novice hurdle, and he disappointed and was beat 13 lengths last time. So I'd say a lot of question marks against these horses, so for that reason I'm going to go for old King Messina, and I think he can be another winner at Ludlow for Evan Williams.
King Messina then, the one that James likes in this contest. Evan Williams and Adam Wedge teaming up on that one for the 210 at Ludlow. We'll go over to Lingfield now then for two races on their poly track. We start with the 2 o'clock, a sprint handicap here. 5 furlongs the trip for these 8 runners. It's a class 2 event, this one. What did you fancy, James?
Yeah, really interesting contest, because you've got old classic winner Lights, Camera, Action, or the finals day at Lingfield last year, won for Gay Kellaway. And like I say, didn't run too bad in a listed race, when only beaten 4 lengths, 7th last time out. Probably the best form that he's shown since he won on finals day. Marker 1 or 2 isn't easy, but does go well over this course. And has drawn stall 1, so you can imagine he'd be pretty prominent. But I'm going to go for Brother Tiger, trained by David Griffiths. This individual is a 3-time course distance winner, and ran a cracker when second at Chelmsford 9 days ago. He's £2 well in on that form, and this is probably a slightly weaker contest. And he runs in those colours that are very, very successful for the yard. And I can see him having another really decent sprinter on their hands. Of the others, Diamond Charlie can often run well when he seems to face impossible tasks from the handicap. And he's interested in the neat way price. But Brother Tiger will be the selection for David Griffiths and Kieran O'Neill.
Brother Tiger then getting the vote in Lingfield's 2 o'clock. The final race on today's podcast comes up at 2:30 from Lingfield. A mile and a quarter condition stakes here. It's a class 2 event, and we've just got the 4 runners lining up for it. But certainly the front 3 in the betting, James, look as though they'll serve up a bit of a contest.
Yes, a really, really interesting contest, because only 4 runners, yet you've got Energy at Davos 111, Mind Your Own Business another one at 111, and Battalion at 107. So 3 very decent performers. Shame there's only 4 runners, but you wouldn't really get too many other horses in training that could compete off those kind of marks. Obviously, Ansap, the outside of the 4s, only rated 89 and would have a little bit to do at the weights. But I'm going to go for Mind Your Own Business, who's really improved recently for Roger Vera and Jim Crowley. Won a handicap off, I think, 104 last time out, and won extremely impressively. And off levels here, he's so effective on the poly track surface. The only slight concern would be whether a 4-runner field would play to his strengths, because obviously he's been winning some big field handicaps recently. Whereas Energia Davos is a little bit inconsistent, but he did disappoint in Rome last time, but in England he's 2 from 3 this year, and it seems to have gelled since switching to Jane Chappell Heim's yard. Small field could see him to better effect, and he's interesting, but he's got to give a £2 to Battalion and £5 to Mind Your Own Business. Well, Battalion thought he could be pretty decent when he was a 3-year-old. Hasn't probably progressed quite as expected, but didn't run badly when the fifth to Let's Go in a listed race here 18 days ago. Small field, he could be the one to take him along, and he's interesting. So, like I say, you really can't rule any of his out, but I think Mind Your Own Business is progressing so rapidly at the moment, and the confidence sky high after those 2 easy wins the last twice. He's probably the potential all-weather star at the moment, and Mind Your Own Business will be the selection in what's a fascinating four-runner contest.
Mind Your Own Business then getting the pick for James. Roger Varian and Jim Crowley teaming up for that one, getting £5 from its likely market rival Energy of Davos. Just remind us, please, one more time then, your 4 selections for the action on Wednesday afternoon.
Yeah, 1:40 at Ludlow in the Mayor's Hurdle. We're going for Dusky Legend. She was second in all 3 hurdle outings last year, but she wasn't disappointing in either of them. I think in a handicap debut, she's got an absolutely cracking chance. 2:10 at Ludlow, we've gone for King Messini. The one horse is in form, likes the track, and he can follow up his recent success. 2:00 at Lingfield, we're going for Brother Tiger, an improving sprinter for David Griffiths, and he can win again over course and distance. Finally, the 2:30, Mind Your Own Business, rapidly improving, and he can go in again.
James Millman's selections then for the action on Wednesday. And remember, you'll hear every race live on William Hill's Racing Radio from 12:10 PM with Ross Briley, Craig Forsyth and Dale Gibson in the studio, guiding you through the cards at Catterick, Ludlow and Lingfield in the afternoon, Kempton Park in the evening on the Poly Track. So plenty to enjoy with us on Racing Radio on Wednesday. Thank you very much for joining me on this edition of the podcast, James, and we'll speak again soon.
Thank you very much.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.